So throughout our Lent Unbound series, we've been looking at different paths to freedom. So far, we've touched on identity, mystery, solidarity, and curiosity. And today we come to honesty, or we could just say telling it like it is. I love how Martha is ever the pragmatist. You remember Martha, the one in the kitchen in Luke 10, who was worried and distracted by many things while her sister Mary talked theology with Jesus. So naturally, Martha being Martha, she is the one to say, 4 days dead is not a good smell. Martha doesn't mince words. And even before that down-to-earth bit of honest talk, she tells it like it is to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, I'm sure, can handle her honesty. After all, let's not forget what Jesus will say from the cross. Even Jesus says to God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus feels God forsaken and tells it like it is. It's strange to me that this is our religious heritage, this honest talk, this telling it like it is. And yet somehow Christians today are reluctant to tell it like it is, to speak honestly about our disappointment and our struggles. We act like we're not supposed to express our grief or anger or disappointment. Instead of saying, well, God could have worked a miracle, but God didn't. And it's heartbreaking because I can't understand why a good, loving, all-powerful God would let terrible things happen without intervening. Instead, for some reason, you're more likely to hear from a Christian, everything happens for a reason, or God needed an angel, or God won't give you more than you can handle, all things the Bible does not say. Instead of superficial platitudes, the Bible gives us the valley of dry bones, and it's graphic. God gives Ezekiel a vision of a valley filled with bones. This is not a silver lining situation, quite the opposite. God basically says, yes, it's as bad as you think it is. It's death and despair and hopelessness for as far as the eye can see. The Israelites are living in exile, in captivity. Their temple has been desecrated and destroyed. They've been cut off from their culture and religion and community and everything familiar. Things are bad. They are more than discouraged. They are fully in despair. God doesn't say, buck up, friends. Everything happens for a reason. I won't give you more than you can handle. This too shall pass. That's not what God says. Instead, God honors their deep grief, their profound pain with this morose image, a valley full of bones, and they are very dry. That's exactly how they feel. Like the life has been sucked right out of them. They are hopeless and brittle. We're afraid to get dark with each other, but we forget. People know dark. Trust me, we all do. We are all acquainted with grief. We all have, or have had, or will have something that is our valley of dry bones, where we do not see hope, and we cannot imagine light and life coming into this valley in our experience. So God gives Ezekiel a vision that is pretty dark. There is hope in this vision, but it doesn't look like sunshine and butterflies. Here, hope comes in sinews and flesh. It's gory. The bones are dry, then they rattle, then sinews appear, then flesh, then skin. This vision shows us the getting from death to life, from despair to hope, from failure to fresh start, isn't pretty or easy. In fact, it can be pretty rough. This vision of hope, this promise, is gritty. But there is a promise. The point of the vision of the valley filled with bones isn't only to acknowledge their pain, it's also to offer a promise. It's a promise that I imagine could only be heard if their pain is acknowledged, but it is a promise nonetheless. You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. God is promising to those who have lost all hope, all faith, who cannot see and do not believe that God is with them, that God would do anything for them. God is promising that God's Spirit will be within them, so that even when there is no temple, even when they are in exile, God will be with them and within them. To those who don't expect that God will speak or act in history or in their lives ever again, God is promising that they will know that God does speak and God will act. God is promising to breathe life and hope and faith into their dry and despairing souls. Like God's honest assessment of the depth of despair that the people are in, captured in Ezekiel's vision in the Valley of Dry Bones, Mary and Martha are similarly honest. They tell it like it is. If you would have been here, our brother would not have died. There's disappointment and anger in that statement. You could have prevented this, and you didn't. And then, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. There's no hiding the doubt in that statement. It's too late. They don't believe that God can or will do anything that matters anymore. They've not only lost their brother, they've lost hope. But Jesus insists, and so they open up the grave, and Jesus calls to Lazarus to come out. And it doesn't say how he smelled, but it does say the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth. This image is the foundation of our series this Lent, this image of a man revived, brought back to life after having died, but still bound. This isn't the end of his dramatic story. It can't be. Lazarus may be alive, but he's still bound. So what comes next? Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. Jesus doesn't say, Lazarus, tear off those grave clothes and get to living. Jesus doesn't do it for him, doesn't say, come here, Lazarus, let me unravel these things that still bind you. What does Jesus do? He calls other people, his family, his friends, his community, to unbind him. Lazarus can't do it himself, and God chooses to let other people participate in God's promise unfolding. Unbind him, Jesus says. It's the same in Ezekiel's vision. God shows Ezekiel the valley filled with bone, and God tells Ezekiel the promise to put sinews and flesh on them, to put breath in them. But God doesn't just do it. God invites Ezekiel to participate. Prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the breath. And then after the dramatic vision, after the bones rattle and reconnect, after they are covered in flesh and filled with breath, then God invites Ezekiel to prophesy to the people. It's like Jesus saying, unbind him and let him go. It isn't God doing everything while Lazarus and his community sit back passively. And it's not Lazarus in a heroic feat of self-help doing it all himself. It's God in Christ inviting Lazarus to step out of the grave and inviting those around him to unbind him. It's a collaboration between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's a collaboration between divine and human, and it's a collaboration among people who are suffering and grieving and dying and living. That's us. We are the ones who are suffering and grieving and dying and living. And together, with each other and with God, together we are called in courage and compassion to enter the dark places, the places of grief and despair, and together we are called to speak hope into despair. We are called to do this with and for each other. Unbind him. Unbind him. Unbind her. Unbind each other. Unbind the systems that hold humanity in bondage to sin. This is our calling, to show up in the dark places with each other, to tell it like it is, to speak honestly about what's broken or dying in the world and in our lives. Whether it's grief over the loss of a loved one, or a diagnosis that makes the future uncertain, or a trauma from the past that still hurts, or addiction, or poverty, or war, or climate change, or natural disasters, we are called to face these things together, with God and with each other. Neither sitting back passively, waiting for God to swoop in and handle it all for us, nor white-knuckling our way through life in a display of rugged individualism, attempting to handle it all on our own, but together. We find the courage to face the valley of dry bones, the tomb, the places of devastation in our lives and in the world. We find the courage to face these things when we go together. And so with honesty, telling it like it is, we begin finding freedom in Christ. And so we have hope that God meets us in the dark and dry valleys and breathes life into our souls and calls us out of our tombs of despair and invites us to help each other as God helps us to step toward freedom and life. May God revive us and set us free to live in love and praise. Let us pray. God of life and breath, you meet us in our darkest valleys and call us out of our tombs. Give us courage to be honest about what binds us. Give us hope to speak life over what seems dead. And give us compassion to help unbind each other, that together we might walk in the freedom of Christ. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit as you